what happens is, this guy is working for the socher. He has a dream. He says, whatever the dream tells me to do, I'm going to go to do. So he has a dream to go to Lemberg, to go to Leipzig. And over there, I'm going to take whatever first job I'm going to take. And he saw a merchant. A merchant says, would you like a job? And he said, yes. And he says, you have to watch these behemoths. And the behemoths run in the thick forest. And this guy's running after the behemoths. Right, why is he running after the thick behemoths?
It's his job.
It's his job. And he's afraid of the socher. Right? This guy's a really, really rough guy. If I come back to him, I'm going to get really beaten by not getting this. So let's go from 120 up on the 28 on the top. He made up his mind. Either way, be what it will be, I'm already going to die, because if I return without the behemoth, I'll die through the merchant. If I just come home now and say, sorry, I lost your behemoth, he'll kill me. And if I'll be here, I'll also die through the beast. And there are a lot of beasts in the forest, and it's getting scary, the forest. So he decided, why should I return to the merchant? How could I come to him without the behemoth? For he had great fear of him. He went and chased further after the behemoth, and they kept running away. It's interesting that he feels like he has to go back to the merchant, like just go out and walk away and say, the heck with the merchant, I lost the behemoth and he'll never see me the rest of my life. He lives in Lemberg, I won't go back to Lemberg. It's interesting that a person always, what does this show you? He creates a catch 22 for himself that he didn't have to create. Yeah.
I was thinking he has very all or nothing thinking.
It's all or nothing thinking, and it's also creating scenarios that don't exist. We do this all the time in our lives. We create catch 22s. It's almost more comfortable life when we create a catch 22. If I do this, I do this. If I do that, I'm gonna be in trouble, because it kind of justifies what we're doing. You know, like, for example, let's use a very harsh example, but unfortunately, it's an example that happens when there's abuse in a home. And let's say a wife is watching the father abusing the kids. Now, she's darned if she doesn't tell on him. I mean, her kids are getting beat up. It's pretty bad. If she does tell on him, oh, hey, what a mess! Is the police are going to get involved? Maybe I have to get divorced with him. And and it's a whole mess. So sometimes, if you ask most people just live through the pain, and they just don't want to deal with the solution, because the solution, at least in the short term, is much harder than dealing with the issue. It's just, you know, like, if you see somebody mentally ill in the health, just ignore it, it will go away, until the person goes away and you don't have that person anymore. So, like, we create catch-22 situations because we're like, okay, I have no other choice, I'll just, you know, go on. And we don't realize that there is another choice. This is like a classic type of, AA type thing, or, you know, any addiction type thing. That an addict gets into the place where the choice is bad. I have no other way out of this. This guy's like got himself into a life where, like, it just stinks. You know, like, if I quit my job, I'm not going to have money. But if I stay with my job, I hate my job. What am I going to do? So he doesn't realize there are solutions out of the box. But he doesn't want to look at those solutions because he doesn't want to start. Just better be have an abusive home than to deal with it. You know, and that justifies, I'm sure there are some kids who came out of abuse fine and it was fine. It's okay. So we'll be fine. My kids will be fine. But it's not always the case that. Here, so too here. If I do this, if I do that. But he doesn't realize he can go out and he won't. Why is he following the behemoth? What does he have with these behemoth that he keeps on following? He goes, how can I come without the behemoth? For he had great fear of him. He went and chased him further with the behemoth, and they kept on running away. Meanwhile, it became night, and such a thing he had never had, that he had to sleep alone at night in such a thick forest. And he heard the roaring of the beast, which roared in his usual way is. He made up his mind and went up on a tree and spent the night there, and he heard the sound of the beast yelling as their usual way. A few things about this. Why is he chasing these beasts? Why? Like, okay, fine. He can't see the merchant anymore. That's true. Why is it? But why is it? Okay. Therefore, if I can't see the merchant anymore, I just have to keep on chasing these beasts. Like, what is it?
Because he has two options, and like, if he goes back to the merchant without the animals, then he's definitely going to die. But he might. There's a slight chance that he might still survive and get the animals. So,
Okay. Okay, but he keeps on chasing
even though it's futile, it's still going to work. Like, at least there's a small hope, so he clings to that small hope that somebody's going to turn out right.
Oh, so this is a lot of times we live with this. Like, again, I think that, that's on a certain level. There's a certain healthiness, but a lot of unhealthiness in that. Like, just, you know, this morning, like, I you know, I was learning, and I had like 15,000 things on my mind. I got to do this. I got to do this. And I kept on saying, I got to chase the beasts. I got to chase the beasts. I got to chase the beasts. You know, like that's our life. We got to chase the beasts. You know, what are you doing next year? I got to chase the beasts. We're chasing these beasts because we're afraid of a scenario that doesn't have to be, that I have to go back to the merchant. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to go back to the merchant.
No, but it's also sometimes people live in lies. Like, you know, sadly, like, let's say someone's, like, really, really sick. So, like, some people, let's say they have to go through chemotherapy. And, like, there's, like, there's a 0.001%. Or someone's in a coma. There's a 0.001% chance that they're ever going to wake up from the coma. So we all cling on to that. We all cling on to that 0.01%.
Right. So that's a healthy right. part of it. Yeah.
It's also, like, a goal. Like, meaning, even if something's, like, is a toxic, like messed up and wrong thing to do, but, like, at least it's a goal. It's like I'm doing
right.
something.
So crossing, right. Oh, good. I like that. I like that idea. It's similar to what Erez was saying, but a little bit different. The question is, like, what's he going to do? He's going to find his behemoths. He's going to come out and hey, merchant, I found your behemoths. We'll get a beating also. A few weeks go by and he's going to. Well,
so maybe it just represents the pursuit of a fleshical lifestyle that he's going after. Like, literally, these beasts, this animalistic stuff, just to appease someone that doesn't really matter, just to, like, right. get approval from someone who doesn't have to.
We have to ask ourselves, am I just chasing beasts into a deep forest here? Okay, then you may have to answer. Listen, what are you crazy? I have to go to work. I have to make money. I have to make my family. I have to pay bills and this and that. You know, and that's a worthwhile answer. But he never asked the question. What am I doing?
At the end of the day, he still does have to chase it. Like,
let's say he walks out of the forest, he goes home, and that's it. Why does he have to see the merchant again? Is the merchant standing in such a small forest that the merchant's standing waiting for him? We'll go out.
Oh yeah, but then in the day, he still took upon responsibility for himself. He just. Irking his responsibilities, even though it's bad, he's chasing animalistic lifestyle, whatever. He still made a promise to someone that he still took on a goal right. for himself, and he took a responsibility. For
himself. So that brings up another question: when do we let go? When do we say it's just not? You know, on one hand, Rabbi Nachman talks about to be in action. Where did we learn about being in action? By the Avedas Bas Melech. You know, the Sheni Lamelech, the one who found that he was in action, he said, that's it. I know I'm finding. So why was that good and this bad? Why was that? I know I'm going to find him.
It's for a good thing.
And this is for, so Erez would say this is for...
I was like, even if something's good, like let's say like a kid comes to yeshiva, and yeah, like in reality, like the best case scenario, like he does really well in yeshiva, he learns a lot, he takes a lot out of it, and he like gains something the rest of his life. Let's say he's in yeshiva, it's just not working out. Right. In the reality, like sure, you'd love for the kid to like be successful, learn a lot, you know, love yeshiva and do stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if he's really just not, if it's just not working, is it worth it for a kid just to sit there and try and never succeed?
I always say, the second semester still can. Yeah. As I said, it's a one-way street now.
Even though he is chasing after something good, the end result, he's just wasting time and money.
Right.
He could be doing something else.
So let me read in the basically what we just said in the beautiful words of Erez Moshe Daron. But I just saw that he's going to be in Tzfat the Shabbos, that the yeshiva is in Tzfat. Yeah, the one we always read from. Maybe we'll try to meet him. But people pay good money to be with him, so I don't know if we get. But we'll, if we find him in a corner,
we'll meet him. I like it.
Yeah, most of his time is spent on the chase itself, rather on the enjoyment of any acquisitions. A lot of times that we're just chasing, but we're not acquiring. Like we're, you know, the famous thing that we take a vacation to work again, to make money for a vacation. That's like the famous Moser Shmuz, right? But we're not acquiring anything. We're not, put a plug for Dr. Benji Epstein's book. He wrote a book about, I forgot what it's called. Just put a book about, like, just enjoying the moment, you know, mindfulness that everyone talks about, but it's Dr. Benji Epstein's, it's very good. What is worse, I'm sure it's very good, I didn't read it, but what is worse, you realize that he's in the thick of the forest and he is alone. Outside the forest, when he was still young, it seems as though he was surrounded by friends and companions. But the true trust of friendship comes in the thick of the forest. During the struggles with life and its complications, going out to a club doesn't test a friendship, right? Meaning he's realized that I'm getting alone and alone and alone. As you go on in life, right now you guys take it for granted that you guys are friends and you live in a dorm, and like it may be annoying, but like you have this automatic friendship, you know, like even in the YU dorms, I always felt like I had these automatic friendships around me. And even if they're not such deep friendships and everything like that, but you have like these people to speak to all the time. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I think that's one of the biggest
things. Can you replace that with a family?
What? No. Meaning on certain hands, that a person who doesn't have a family, it's more lonely. On the other hand, that there's a certain loneliness with a family, that you're all alone there. You know, like, you're not going to speak to your kids about, like, I feel like I'm chasing the beast today. And your wife doesn't want to hear it also. You don't want to also be a disheveled person in front of your wife and just say, I just can't do it. I just can't, you know. It's not good. It's not good
to be different.
Friends are different. You could feel vulnerable in front of a friend. You could feel disheveled. I'm not saying you can't feel vulnerable in a wife, but there's just so much you can do. How do I say this without making like marriage sound horrible? Like, it's the greatest thing in the world, obviously, but it's different in terms of your struggles. You need a friend. You still need a friend. No one ever talked about it. See that a wife took over Sichas Chaver. Because Sichas Chaver, you're totally making yourself vulnerable. You're totally
your wife isn't your best friend.
Right. There is a statement like that. So you realize that he's all alone now. Now he's in a thick forest. And now he's really like, what am I supposed to do? And now he's just chasing them just because he doesn't want to be in the thick forest. So you hear this? He's like, he's kind of with the merchant. He made this like crazy decision. Like, I'm just going to the merchant. We'll talk about that. We have to get back to the decision. Like, what kind of decision making is that? Was that good or bad? Like, that he just went, okay, this is what I'm doing. Then he's running after these behemoths and he doesn't give up. And now he's in a deep forest. And now he's like, what am I going to do? So he's like, I might as well just, once you realize you're in a deep forest, like, just continue. Don't stop here. I'm already in the forest. I'm already damned. And now I'm going to stop my job right here. And then I'm going to be poor. And then I'm going to be, I have no job then. No, so just continue. It's the people we get ourselves into such situations. It's unbelievable.
Don't you think also, Roma, that like the fact that it says that they roared as their usual way is, and it says like that they yelled as their usual way is. So talking like the cyclic nature, like that it's a cycle,
right.
their usual way
right.
is constant.
Right. What's interesting is that
like he's seen this before. He knows how this is. Like,
right. So you can these translations are so different. So it's whole. It says that he kept on. Okay, in the morning he took a look. He saw the behemoths standing close by him. Woo! The behemoths are standing right next to me. What could this mean? That in the morning comes and the behemoths are next to him?
Like redemption and
maybe. The morning represents clarity. That Rabbi Nachman says that the greatest gullus is the gullus hadas. When we're not self aware, we're not self conscious of the whole situation. And at night.
And therefore we need to say Shema. Or Modani.
Could be definitely an idea of that, yeah. But at night, we're like totally, we have no idea, what's lurking behind the counter. You know, everybody's little kids always so scared of like a certain like shape, like in the grandmother's house or something like that. You know, like there's a certain shape when they go to sleep, and they would always see, because they thought that the shape was like, we make things up. What?
Monster in the closet.
Yeah, monster in the closet, monster in the bed. Whatever it may be, where we have all like these images at night, there could be something lurking behind there, Even as adults, you don't think about the door being open or closed during the day. When at night, you're like, did I lock the door? Did I lock the door? Well, maybe there's a robber at the door. I gotta get the door. Lock the door.
I shade him.
At night, there's a certain fear. There's a certain fear. You don't know. You don't have das. You don't have clarity. In the morning, you have certain clarity and say, oh, the behemoths are right here. What am I running for?
Emotions aren't heightened that night.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. He got down the tree and went to capture them. Where they got away further, and they got away further. He went after them more, and they got away more. And the behemoths found themselves some grasses to eat there, and they stopped to graze. He would follow after to capture them. They got away further again, and even the behemoths stop a little bit, and then they run away. And thus he kept going after them and run away. He can't not run after them. Because what does he have in his life? He's stuck in a dark forest, in a horrible forest. So he's like, okay, I might as well just chase them. You know, I might as well just leave them. I have no. How many times do we feel in life? Okay, you guys are young. I just feel like I'm in a one way street here. I just can't get out of this. And sometimes it could be a relationship that you have. You're just like in this one way street with them. Like always sour. It's always taking a wrong turn, and you just can't turn it around to like. you're stuck in the forest with them and you just can't turn it around. Like, can we just stop and like just enjoy ourselves? And like, I know you like me, I like you, but just stop. No, we're in the forest and we have to like pursue it. We have to pursue, almost like if you stop trying to be friends with this person, maybe it could work out. And the story of Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, he's running around the shuk. There's always, he saw every morning a guy running around all around the shuk. He said to him, he goes, what are you running after? And he goes, I'm running after Parnassa. Parnassa, it's hard. I have to run after Parnassa. So Levi Yitzchak said, maybe if you stopped, Parnassa would catch up to you. Sometimes we're running away. Where are you running away from? Maybe stop in the part, but you didn't give a chance for Parnassa to reach you. Because you're so mobile, you're just running after the beast. Tell you, I said this all morning. I'm running after the beast. I'm running after the beast.
That's so against like modern like thought.
Well, in terms of what?
Like you have to slow down to gain.
For sure.
Yeah, it's literally like the total opposite of everything we grew up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to take the next.
Well, I think that the high tech world. I think what we're seeing now happens to be. I think we're moving from the corporate America, with the classic, you know, ties and everything, to a very, very cool, high tech, WeWork type of setting where, you know, everybody with their socks and they have their little basketball hoop or something like that.
Beanbag chairs.
Well, what's the thing called? Like, suspenders.
But the question is, I wonder. I wonder if people are is that good or bad? I mean, you're making life your work, so it has good aspects and bad aspects, but this is everything that Yaki is trying to spread around the world. Stop running after your behemoth in your deep forest. There's nothing left to do but to run after the behemoth. It's almost like, and if you caught up with them, what would you do now? Would your life be better? Not even. What are you going to? You're going to find the merchant. You're going to run around trying to purchase. Here are your cows. And like, no, it's not going to even be better that way. But we create a reality to ourselves, and we allow people to create realities for ourselves that we shouldn't be letting them create a reality themselves. Not that, you know, I'm sure there are many, many good people, job advisors in college. But how many times did people get messed up in their lives because of a bad overachieving? Overstimulated, job advisor. Again, I believe in responsibility. I believe in working, as much as it stinks. And as I said, in the end of the day, people feel you have to. This is on the basic level. You have to bring home money. It costs money to live. Even on a basic level, it costs money to live. You have friends. You have everything.
So what do you feel about winning the lottery then?
Huh?
What about winning the lottery?
That's sweet. I don't do the lottery, but
no, as in like there
after
like,
the fact, there is, but the evidence great.
Like there is a good meter to be found in like we're actually working, like
taking care of yourself, working, like
working for a part.
Right. That
you should have a job.
When Meshamim, that when a person even if you have a small
parnasa, but it's a parnasa and you work for it,
some job that a person should feel fulfilled. It depends what talent is. And if a person's an unbelievable scientist or something like that, it'll be sad for him to just sit there, you know, on the beach. He won't be able to. Lefish shorish nishmato. There are some people who 65 years old, they can retire and be happy about it, be shalom about
that
it.
Right now.
And there are some people at 65 years old, it's a nightmare for them to retire. They'll be like, the wife will kick them out of the house if they're home all day. It all depends on the shorish neshama of each person. That's really the behemoths are following a script in life that may not be according to your shorish neshama. That's what happens at the beginning. He has like this dream. Whatever it takes to do, I'll do. That's like a person going to college. Whatever it takes to make it here in the business world, I'll do. So wait, hold on. What about yourself? Look into yourself. Who does this remind you of? A little bit of the Chacham, right? That he never had introspection. He never said, what is good for me? He says, what is good out there? What is a good profession? What is good money? Oh, but you know, gold and silver may go down value, so I have to be a doctor. He's always looking at that. He never looked at himself. This is very similar, like the Chacham just running after the world and without even thinking about, well, what do I need? What do I need? And when a person thinks about self-awareness and a person really gets connected to the Ani, he finds a lot more solutions. What he thought that life was I'm damned for A and I'm damned for B, he'll find solution C, D, E, F, G. and there'll be little modifications of A and B. Little modifications. Or maybe even in the mind, he's going to change his mind. But again, this person's in the deep forest. However, what happens here? Okay, so until he was arrived in the very thick forest, or already where there are beasts, chayos, that have no fear whatsoever of any people, because they are far from settled areas. Interestingly enough, that the chayos, usually the chayos are, the behemoth started as slaves of the, worse than slaves, they're the animals of the socher. Now the chayos take over at night. They take over. We allow the physical world and life to take over our lives for us. That which we're supposed to manage, for example, say a person has a food issue with proper eating, that which the food is there meant to serve us, we become servants of the food. That which entertainment is to serve us, to entertain and to enjoy life a little bit more, we become a slave to Netflix. We become a slave. So that all the chayos, which are slaves to man, right? And Hashem said, look at nature. Do whatever you want to do with nature. Now they have overruled man. Ask anybody with an addiction. I think this is the exact explanation, that at first it was there for me, and now I'm there for it. I don't have a... He says like this. He says, the nature of physical urges is such that even if they seem to provide what a person wants, if one indulges in them too much, they take their own kind of revenge. For example, smoking exacts its revenge through illness, overeating through obesity, overindulgence in entertainment through draining one's finances, etc. All those youthful friends and companions who used to smile and wink at him now come to collect their dues. They put a lien on a person's account and bring him to the debtor's prison until he works off his debt. Nothing comes for free. Any quick thing is going to be... We're gonna have to pay the price at one time in life.
Entertainment ones are kind of wrong.
What?
The entertainment ones are kind of wrong nowadays. It's not about money, it's about time.
Mm-hmm. Time also. Totally.
Right, yeah.
You use up your time. And,
yeah.
It's interesting that every time he goes up, the world kind of settles down. And every time he's down with there, he's running after his animals and he's going crazy and he's hearing chayas. It's very interesting that when a person lifts himself, we're going to see this in a little bit. Again, we're going to see it. Meanwhile, he noticed that a very large tree is standing there. And he got up on the tree. As soon as he was up on the tree, he noticed a man lying there. He took fright, but still was relieved that for a reason that he had found a human here. They asked one another, "Who are you?" "A man." "Who are you?" "A man." "From where have you come?" He did not want to tell that it had happened to him, so he answered, "By the way of the behemoth which I tended. Two behemoths walked off here, and thereby have arrived here." He then asked the other man who he got off the tree, how he got from the tree. "So from where did you get here?" He answered him, I got here through the horse, for I was riding on a horse. I stopped to take a rest, and the horse went off into the forest. I chased it to capture it, and the horse ran away further until I arrived here." So another person kind of running after his horse, getting really deep into the woods, based on the horse. Turn around the page, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, some people want to say that actually, this is the Ben HaShifcha and the Ben HaMelech really meeting. Mm-hmm. That's all the Pirushim said, but it's not straight out that we know that it's the two people yet. Remember, he went hunting in the woods, right? Remember, maybe he was hunting in the woods and he got lost.
So a horse is like a royal animal.
Right, so that's a good point, right?
Like they would ride on a horse, like Mordechai and Esther.
Right, that's interesting. Right, and they finally meet each other. Where do they meet?
In the forest.
But where in the forest? The top of the tree. What does the top of the tree represent?
It's where he's hiding.
Huh?
It's where he's hiding.
It's where he's hiding, but why the tree?
So you can see everything clearly from the high
point. So good, very good. Ilan hu haTorah, the eitzos shel haTzadik. As it says in Mishlei, it's chayim hilu machazikim ba, eitz to tzadik.
Does that mean that as he goes to the forest and as he's chasing his behemoths, he finds Torah every now and then?
Oh, When a person is able to lift himself through the eitzes of the tzaddik, and he's able to within the forest, he didn't leave the forest, within the forest, he's able to get a broader perspective. And notice every time he goes up, life gets a little bit quieter. The behemoths are down there waiting for him, right? That a yar could be a very scary place of trepidation, fear, but also could be extreme menuchas hanefesh to be in a forest. Think about a beautiful forest. So that's the bechira. Are you going to be able to find the high place in the forest? Are you going to be able to rise above all of these things, or are you going to become a product of your situation? As Rav Kugler talks about, we once learned about the Sharabet before I started learning. Last year I did Sichus Aran. The year before that I did Rav Kugler's different Torahs from Rav Kugler. So he says, are you just a product of your situation? Like your whole life is just your production of your situations, or do you rise above your situations? Or are you the situation? Do you ever become your situation? Like you mamish become your situation. You become fear. You become angry. You become, it enwraps you, and therefore the situation is you, has taken over you. But then there are some people who they're on the eights and they see a situation. So take care of the situation.
It's just like an eights, like the beauty and like the splendor of the Tiferes of like a tree, is like it's up high in the tree, it's not like in the bark.
Exactly.
Like, people look at the beauty, look at like up the top.
Right. Sorry. Right. And he sees a man up there, right? Right, so what happens? So one says, like, okay, they made up between them that they should remain together, and they agreed that even when they will come into civilization, they should also remain together. What's the idea of them remaining together?
Like when you're with the tzaddik, kind of, maybe?
Huh?
Like maybe when you attach yourself to the tzaddik, so like he stays with you?
Uh-huh.
No matter where you go?
Okay, even if you're in the city? Could be. Right? Right, because they shared a very special experience together. And no one's going to understand this experience. We're running after behemoths, and we're in a tree, and then we're up it. You know, you ever like experience something in life, and like you can always only speak to your friend about that experience, because he will only understand because he was there with me. I can't explain to my friends what happened, but he was there with me, and I feel a special. And they will always have this special experience to share with each other. Okay, so they go to sleep. They're up in the tree. Towards day, and the two of them slept the night there, and they heard the sound of the beast roaring and screaming very much. Towards day, he heard a very great laughter, ha 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 ha, over the entire forest. For it was a great laughter, to the extent that the tree trembled from the sound of the laughter, and he became very terrified. And had a great fear from it. The other person said to him, "I already have no fear of it whatsoever, for I slept here several nights. All nights are like this. As it goes close to day, one hears the laughter to the extent that all the trees tremble and quake." He was very frightened and said to the other, "It seems that there is a place of those people, the place of the demons, for in said lairs one does not hear such a laughter whatsoever." Did you ever hear a laughter, like, you know, in the morning? No. "For it has heard a laughter over the entire world." Then it immediately became day. They took a look. They saw the behemoth of his are standing, and the horse of the other is also standing. Again, every time they go up the tree, the behemoth stop. They went down and began to chase after this one after the behemoth, and this one after the horse. The behemoth ran away further, and he chased his horse before. And like his life automatically becomes to chase these behemoths. Instead of saying, "Okay, let's make a plan, let's get out of here," they go back down to chase their behemoths. And likewise, the others keep chasing the horse, and the horse keeps on running away until the two men had gone off from the other, and one of them did not know of the other. So they already lost their friendship because of this. You know, you keep on losing, you lose, once you're running after the physicality, you can lose everything. You start losing friendships over it. A person starts gambling and he likes the money. The gambling is very much like the coal of the yeah, giving. Right, the slot machine effect, right, that Yaakov always talks about. The slot machine effect, it's like that becomes my friend. It becomes like, and everything, I run after that the whole time. And he loses his friend over it. His friend, who they made a pact, they get lost. Meanwhile, he found the sack of bread. Now, this is certainly very important in the wilderness. So he took the sack over his shoulders and he went to the behemoth.
Could it also mean that, like, it affects not just, like, the poor layman, but also, like, the rich and the wealthy also?
For sure.
Like, the royal? Like, that everyone's, in, like, everyone's trying to follow the behemoth. It's not just a...
For sure. For sure, everybody in their own way. The poor person is running around for a piece of bread. The poor person actually understands because he needs to live. It's the rich person, like, what do you need that for? You know, whenever you're like these horrible scams and everything like that, they're never dealing with like poor people. They're dealing with people who had a lot of money and they wanted more money. Like, what are you chasing the behemoths for? The professor actually told me that he uses like these code words in his life when he wants to like remind himself, like, to get himself on back on the path. He uses like he uses a quote code word like veracious. That means like start again. Like, you know, it's good to have like. So, like, I feel like my code word is like stop chasing the behemoths. Stop chasing the behemoths. I love the hashtag thing because like hashtag stop chasing the behemoths. And it's just like good reminders for life. The only problem is when the hashtag becomes like the essence of life, as opposed to reminding you of that's the poor mitzvah, the bad shivcha, this is what happens. And then hashtag stop chasing the behemoths. Okay. All right. Now he's about to meet. Now he gets to meet. What does he get to meet? Oh. Meanwhile, he encounters his friend who was chasing after the horse. As soon as he saw him, he immediately winked at him. That this is no human being at all. Don't have any dealings with him whatsoever. Oh, I skipped a major part here. Right at the top of one page. Meanwhile, he encountered a man. Now, another man. He meets... Who is the other guy? Was the other guy a man?
Yeah.
Well, how did it say? It's a human being. We know he's a human being. Now he meets a man. However, still he had little relief because he found a person. He found a person there. Here, the man asked him, "How did you get here?" He asked the other man in return, "How did you get here?" The other man answered, "I, my parents, and my parents' parents were raised here. But how did you come here? For no man whatsoever comes here from the settled areas." He was very frightened, for he understood that there's no human being at all. For he says that his ancestors were raised here, and no man from civilization comes here at all. So he understood that there's no human at all. But still he did not do anything to him whatsoever and was welcoming. And the man of the forest said to him, "What are you doing here?" He answered him, "So this is the Ishayar, the man of the forest." He answered, "He is chasing after the behemoth." The man of the forest said to him, listen to what the man of the forest says to him, right, whose fathers and fathers and fathers were from the Yar. "Stop chasing after your sins already, for it is not behemoth at all, but rather your sins that are leading you around like this. Enough already. You've already received yours. You've already got enough punishment. Now stop chasing them anymore. Come with me. You will arrive at the thing that is fitting for you." He went with him and he was afraid to speak with him and to ask him anything. For a man like this may open up his mouth and will swallow him down. He followed him. He was afraid that he was going to get swallowed by this person. And he realized that he didn't really meet such a normal person. A person who says, "No problem, I grew up in this desert." You know, actually it says desert in one time, by the way. Okay, so let's just read a little bit of Moshe Rabbeinu says. As in this story, the story of a person's life always begins in the exchange in error, confusion, uncertainty, want, and astonishment. This is our teenage years. They're just... You don't know what's happening to your body. Like, you don't know what's happening to you know, you used to feel comfortable around your parents. Now you're really not so comfortable around your parents. And this happens, and that happens. That's like... And it's like this whole toe. But before... before the world was created, what was in the world? Tohu. Tohu. In order for there to be creation in the world, it has to start with Tohu. It's like before you make a cake, you know, okay, you bring the sugar, bring the this and that, mix it out. It's like all a mess. It's like all bilbo. It's all a Tohu. All the food together, and then you start working out, putting in the cookie cutters, whatever it's called. And like, then he starts putting it together. So a person has to have error, confusion, and certainty. Now, the Ben HaMelech, who is really right now running around the forest, not knowing who he is, what he was, did he go through enough confusion in his life? For sure.
Sounds like it.
But now is the time, in order to truly find himself, to clearly understand what his life is, spiritual purpose, and to muster the energy to rule over his body and use it for the purpose, a person must acquire a guide. This guide may be someone who has already gone through the same turmoil, who stood in the midst of the same frame, was victorious. Someone who, like him, entered the forest of life, but whose house, which represents his mind and soul, hovers above it, beyond all the mundane pettiness and nonsense of this world, and that is the tzaddik. So he comes in contact with the tzaddik. The Isha Yar is the tzaddik. And maybe we'll hold off for next time. So to keep your stuff, guys, because we have a bunch of pages here.
What if we feel like they haven't gone through that struggle? So then, like, you know?
Hey, you have finding work. You're just going through life.
I'm saying, like, a certain tzaddik might have grown up, like, being the son of a tzaddik, and the son of a tzaddik, and he never experienced, like, going so through what we went, like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So
okay.
How do you associate him as being a tzaddik, and how, or maybe you just connect to a different tzaddik? Like, how do you?
Okay. Okay. Good question. That's going to be for next time when we learn a little bit more of the Isha. But you already see, it says, for a man like this may open up his mouth and will swallow him down. Right? He may swallow me. Like, the tzaddik may actually affect my life here. And I may have to realize. And I have to realize that there's more solutions than either running after the behemoth or seeing the merchant. I'm going to have to broaden my narrative here, and there may be other things in my life that I can look for. And that's why he's afraid of being swallowed. That's why, like, in many, many circles, we're afraid of saying the word tzaddik, because it means, whoa, that's too much. That's too much. Okay, we'll pick up next time. You guys can fight over your water.